Let's read together now from Jeremiah chapter 17. That's on page 776 in the turquoise church Bibles, if you've got one. Jeremiah chapter 17. And we're going to read verses 1 to 14 of Jeremiah 17. Let's read God's word. Judah's sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point, on the tablets of their hearts and on the horns of their altars. Even their children remember their altars and Asherah poles. Beside the spreading trees and on the high hills, my mountain in the land, and your wealth and all your treasures, I will give away as plunder, together with your high places, because of sin throughout your country. Through your own fault, you will lose the inheritance I gave you. I will enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know, for you have kindled my anger, and it will burn forever. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. And like a partridge that hatches eggs it did not lay, are those who gain riches by unjust means. When their lives are half gone, their riches will desert them, and in the end, they will prove to be fools. A glorious throne, exalted from the beginning, is the place of our sanctuary. Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust, because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Heal me, Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are the one I praise. Amen. May the Lord bless to us these words that we've read together. These are God's words, and we're going to look at them in a short while. Turn with me to Jeremiah 17. In English, the heart is usually the throne of the emotions, to tug at someone's heartstrings. Or the phrase, with a heavy heart, pour your heart out, follow your heart, wearing your heart on your sleeves. And it's the symbol of love and feeling. But the word heart in the Old Testament has a wider meaning than what we might commonly use it for in the modern day English. It's not only, it is the place of emotions, but it's not only the place of emotions. It's where you think. It's where decisions are made. Our passage from Jeremiah 17 is a vivid metaphor of the change of heart needed to become a Christian. and it gives us our blueprint as Christians to understand how we keep on changing our heart. Jeremiah gives us a picture of two trees, drawing from the language of Psalm 1. And one is a stunted bush in the desert, and the other is flourishing by the water. And when drought comes, as it always does in that part of the world, it hits both trees. It's not as if you're a Christian, you have an easier life than others. Pressures and difficulties hit both. One tree withers, while the other tree stays green. Jeremiah's point here is that the person who trusts in the Lord is like a tree that stays green in drought. Even when hard times come, which they will, the person who is rooted in the life-giving stream of God's love will and should and can continue to bear fruit, the fruit of love for God and the fruit of love for others. And so two trees here in this passage. Which one are we? Which one are you? The first tree. A reporter once asked the famous American evangelist D.L. Moody which people gave him the most trouble. And he answered immediately, "I've had more trouble with D.L. Moody than any man alive." He found himself more difficult than anyone else. In our passage, Jeremiah emphasizes that need for our own individual heart change. He reminds his readers what their heart is like. Verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" We do not, apart from Jesus, love the truth. We rationalize the irrational and we defend the indefensible. We're constantly trying to defend ourselves. We're constantly trying to rationalize what we've done. We store up all manner of secret sins. As someone once said, there is wickedness in our hearts which we ourselves are not aware of and do not suspect to be there. The prophet Jeremiah saw this so clearly because of the era in which he lived. During King Josiah's reign, Judah, which was the lower section of Israel, left over after the upper section was destroyed and taken away and they'd split apart. Judah enjoyed what appeared to be a great revival during King Josiah. And it culminated in one of the grandest celebrations of remembering God's saving intervention. That's what they called the Passover. Celebrating God's saving intervention. And so under King Josiah, they had this great celebration. And even though King Josiah had a real relationship with God, the nation as a whole experienced only a skin-deep change. And we read it there in Jeremiah 17, verse 1 to 4. The scope there is a national scope. From verse 5 onwards, it becomes very personal, very individual. It becomes about the heart on a very unique note of you. But verse 1 to 4 is about diagnosing the nation around us. And it reveals that the people never truly gave up their altars and their Asherah poles beside the spreading trees and on the high hills. Their hearts were far from God. There was no real deep personal attachment to Jesus. They went through the grand celebrations. They called themselves Christians, as we might today, but there was no personal heart love for Jesus. And so the people were actually just as happy worshipping the gods of Canaan the pagan multiple gods that the other people in the area worshipped as they were for praising God. And so even though King Josiah was good, the change just did not go far enough. The change needed to happen in the heart on an individual level. Now, can any of us go along with that need for the change that needs to happen in our own personal hearts? But if my heart is deceitful and it's beyond cure, how can I muster up this trust that's needed to become this second tree? How am I going to go from being tree number one to being tree number two with that second tree that has no worries and is bearing fruit at the end of verse 8? How can my heart change? How am I going to change? The passage here, when describing those of us who are like the first tree, it says that we draw strength from mere flesh, which is really that we're drawing strength from ourselves. It's all about my own abilities, my own problem solving, my own strength. Me. This is what the Bible calls sin. Trusting in what I can accomplish without depending on God. And that person, Jeremiah says, is like a bush dwelling in the parched places of the desert. Now, I often can't change my circumstances, and I can't change the pressures in life. I can't change what's going wrong. I can't change what's happened. I can't change the pressure in society. But the heart, my heart, is a different matter. How are two people able to respond differently to the exact same circumstances, the exact same pressures? Jeremiah highlights that one heart is drawing from a parched place and is going to be incapable of properly growing fruit. In fact, usually it's thorns that grow. So to be honest, the first thing we need to acknowledge about the human heart is that the heart is deceitful above all things. Have you ever tried to lie to yourself? Oh, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm actually the one that's been wronged here. It's everyone else that's a mess up. It's everyone else that's sinning against me. I've done no wrong here. Our hearts are beyond cure. Who can understand this? We barely understand this. We avoid this as much as possible. We don't fully grasp that our hearts are deceitful and beyond cure because the hearts are deceitful. So therefore, we can't understand it. Well, I need to acknowledge verse 9. And I need to take responsibility for my own heart before God. I mean, he already knows this. Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. So it begs the question, how can I change? How can we change? How do we change? That's the first tree. We come to a second tree. Do you feel hopeless for change tonight? I actually ask that both to those of you who would identify as being the first tree, the person who isn't trusting in the Lord, the person who is or feels far away from God, the person who feels as if they are not Christians. Do you feel hopeless tonight? That there's no way you can be saved, there's no way you can change, there's no way I can be safe and secure. There's no way I'm going to heaven. And it's also, I'm asking the question of those of us who are Christians but are scared of the fact that we might never change and that we're stuck in our sins and with our flaws and with our character, with our personality. I'm stuck being me. And sometimes that's the most horrific thing you can think of. Are you lacking the hope of salvation or the hope of change? Well, if the first tree is me, what hope do I have of knowing God's love and his forgiveness and knowing the joy of heaven? If I'm stuck in the cycles of responding badly to the different pressures of life, and if I'm bearing thorns because I'm stuck drawing from a parched heart, what hope do I have of change? That's where a second tree, one that I haven't mentioned so far, kicks in. Because verse 12, a glorious throne exalted from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Lord, you are the hope of Israel. You know what? Before we even get to the other tree, what was the second tree in our passage, I'm shunting that to the side for a second. That's going to become our third tree. Because in our passage, to become like this other tree, the one trusting in the Lord, the one planted by the water, the one bearing fruit, our hope is in the Lord of a different tree. The Lord of the throne gives us hope of change, hope of salvation, and hope of the lifelong process of change, because he's also the Lord of the cross. But doesn't Jeremiah only have two trees, not three? Well, this chapter is drawing from the language of Psalm 1. And it uses the language, as you might notice in verse 5 and verse 7, it uses the language of curse and blessing. Now, these are the words of God's covenant promise, God's initiative of salvation plan. Those who trust in him, based on his initiative, based on his promises, those who trust in him are blessed with all the glorious benefits and the life of being in this covenant, special relationship with God. And those who reject God are cursed, fairly cursed, with a rejection of life. But since verse 3, since my heart is deceitful and beyond cure, how can I be blessed with being and becoming a living, fruitful? How can I bear fruit? How can I become this other tree? Our hope, verse 13, our hope is the Lord Jesus, the one who now sits on the throne. Jesus was God who became man to rescue us. And that language of curse and blessing, his life perfectly embodied God's truth. He totally trusted in the Lord. He fulfilled the requirements of God's covenant blessings with the perfect quality of his life. That's one side. And his death and resurrection on the cross acted as a substitute payment for all the curse for our sins and our turning away from the Lord. And this can therefore become yours and mine, because Jesus also gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, God himself living with us and in us. And the Spirit internally applies the external reality of who Jesus is. So everything that he has done means that our curse, our being the first tree cursed in the desert, is taken away. And his blessing, his fulfillment, his trustworthiness, his trustful obedience, it's applied to us. Now, we use the words the cross. We use it as shorthand for all of that. Oh, the cross is so important to me. What we're meaning is the cross where Jesus died. That's where the transaction took place, where our curse became his. And his perfect blessing, blessed life became ours. We talk about the cross as a symbol for all of those truths. And as if it's through the cross we are changed. We are plucked from who we were in the parched places with a parched heart. Beyond cure, we can't cure ourselves. Our hearts are deceitful, but we are plucked from who we were. And Jesus roots us instead in himself. Because of the tree of the cross, the Christian is nothing else but someone now connected to Jesus, the spring of living water. Because of the life, the death, the work of Jesus. So even though Jeremiah was written well before Jesus was born into the world, the second tree of the cross looms large over the whole Old Testament. All the sacrifices, all the imagery, all the stories of a substitute. It looms large. And the hopeless reality of a heart beyond cure in verse 9 is given hope 4 verses later in verse 13. Lord, you are the hope of Israel. The Lord Jesus was always coming. That's how Jeremiah could write this. Jesus was always coming and he was always going to go to the cross for you and me. That's the changer. That's the game changer here. That's what all of us need to constantly be remembering. We can't move away from this. So we come to the third tree. The fruitful, living tree that can have confidence for when the heat is turned up. For when we face the pressures that we all face. We're all going to face pressures. What dictates your ability to respond to those pressures? Well, the one rooted in the stream of life, covered in the covenant blessings of Jesus himself. And we pause there for a second. Because as we think about looking like this tree, that's not how we trust in the Lord. To look like this tree is not how you trust in the Lord. Let me explain that. If you're not a Christian tonight, you can behave well. You can do good, of course. That's something that humanity is capable of doing because God made us. And there is good in the world. But you cannot bear real fruit, God-honoring fruit, life-giving fruit, glory-winning fruit without the cross. You can't know the blessings of being planted in the Lord without trusting in the Lord of the cross. Because becoming a Christian is not about behavior change. It's about heart change. Imagine you have an apple tree. Every year it produces beautiful apples. But there's a problem. You don't like apples. You like pears. And so you come up with a great plan. You remove all the apples from the tree and you staple loads of pears onto the branches instead. And so for the next few days, you look out of your window at all of this tree full of pears, and you're delighted. Ah, my pear tree. but it doesn't last. Not simply have you destroyed the apples, but you've wrecked the pears as well. And the next year, you're back to square one. The tree bears apples all over again. Still an apple tree. Behavior change is a bit like fruit stapling. Because exercising self-control, great. Telling yourself to act a certain way, yet it goes so far. And it can bring about change in your life for a while. But it's not a long-term solution. Because our heart hasn't really changed. To really change, we need to look at the heart. And real change only comes from the Lord changing our heart. And then we learn to be rooted in Him and to love like Jesus. Instead, being this third tree, planted by the water, becoming someone that then has the real hope of lifelong change in life. That becomes our reality after we trust in Jesus. Look at verse 7 and 8. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water. When they trust in the Lord, when it's Him that they depend on, not themselves, when it's Him that we trust in, not our own abilities, not even our own hearts, when we trust in Him, we become like that tree. How do we trust? How do we go through this process? Well, we trust by listening to the warnings of verse 5 and verse 9, where we repent of drawing strength from mere flesh and trusting in our own defeatful hearts. And now, repenting is a turning away and a turning towards. Turning away, turning towards. Turning away from our old self and our sins and our old priorities and turning towards God. And to keep growing in fruitfulness as a Christian, repentance becomes an ongoing reality of the Christian life. That's how we all live with the hope of real change. Because if you're anything like me, even if you've been many years a Christian, you find there's huge areas you still need to change in your heart. Huge areas you still need to change in your life. Huge things that you still need to change in how you respond to the pressures of life. We trust in the Lord by listening to the warnings and repenting of our sin. And we trust by believing in Jesus, that perfect man of blessing, the Lord of the cross. And we keep on trusting daily that in Jesus and only in Jesus, only through Jesus and because of Jesus, because of who He is and what He's like, that the many promises of God hold me in relationship with God in spite of my sin. I have to trust and I have to know that in Jesus I am held in that relationship in spite of me. That's our confidence. That Jesus paid it all. That Jesus holds me. And the blessings of Jesus, the glory of Jesus belongs to me through Him. When it says there in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. If I'm the first tree, that is bad news for me. But because of Jesus, God searches the hearts of those who trust in the Lord, those who put their hope in Jesus, and he sees the obedience of Jesus. He rewards us according to the conduct of Jesus. He rewards us according to the deeds of Jesus. And as he sees the life of Jesus bear fruit in our life, and our conduct changes, and our deeds change, and we honor God. Because as we become this third tree in Jesus, we bear fruit. If you're a Christian tonight losing hope of real change in your own life, or if you are losing hope of real change for another brother or sister in Christ, trust in the Lord Jesus of the cross again. People say a leopard can't change its spots. That phrase has no place here. No place here. And it has no place in your mind towards yourself or towards other people. Jesus brought the dead back to life. He can change a heart. Remember that a Christian can and will bear fruit when they trust in Jesus. We are not who we used to be. We can change. We can bear fruit. That's the hope that the cross gives us. And not only are we safe, but we become the third tree, bearing fruit, changing, drawing from the life of Jesus, the life-giving reality of who Jesus is, drawing from his strength, drawing from him, bearing fruit even when the pressures come, because we're drawing from him. And as we learn to go to Jesus every single day, our roots go deep down in him. He gives us his life, and over time we gradually change to become more like Jesus. So yes, we are all naturally the first parched tree. But through the second tree of the cross of Jesus, we are able to be changed into the third fruitful tree. And Christian, you can change. You can bear fruit. If you need this for the first time tonight, this real hope of a changed heart, a changed life, if you need this for yourself to be safe in the eyes of God, well, it's on offer to you right here, right now, because of Jesus Christ, because of the cross. The door is open for us, that it's no longer true that we are beyond cure, because Jesus died. The great physician died to cure us. But this is the ongoing confidence as well of the Christian life. The church is meant to be the place where this real change can be seen and where it can be encouraged. It's meant to be the place where fruitfulness can flourish. Let's not hold each other down. Let's not use past reputations against each other. Let's not use past generations against each other. Let's remember change is real. Change exists. Change is possible. Fruitfulness in your life, whatever has happened or whatever you're like, is real and possible. Because of the cross of Jesus, every single day. You need forgiveness? Repent. Turn back to the cross. You need strength? Believe and trust in the promises of Jesus. Let's not hold each other to the expectations of only drawing from the strength of mere flesh. Let's not think that we are beyond cure, because the Lord is our hope. Not you, not yourself, not me, the Lord. Let the cross loom large in your life as you think of these three trees. Let the cross loom large and you'll increasingly know the change in your new heart planted in Jesus. Amen.